Good morning. It's great to be back here again, and it is a little chilly here this morning. So like the rest of you, I'm going to keep my jacket on. I came upon this as I was putting this together, and it was pretty funny, so I figured start with a good laugh and warm us up a little bit. Some advice from the Dr. Phil show. Dr. Phil proclaimed, "The way to achieve inner peace is to finish all the things that you started and have never finished." So I looked around my house to see all the things I started and hadn't finished. And before leaving the house this morning, I finished off a bottle of Merlot, a bottle of White Zinfandel, a bottle of Bailey's Irish Cream, a bottle of Kahlua, a package of Oreos, the rest of the cheesecake, some Doritos, and a box of chocolates. You have no idea how good I feel. Mrs. Thompson. Mrs. Thompson was a fifth grade teacher. And on the first day of class, she actually lied to all of her students. Sometimes that happens. Because what she told her students was she loved all of them exactly the same. Except in the front row, second seat over, not you. Slumped in his chair was little Teddy Stoddard. Now, Mrs. Thompson had watched Teddy from the previous year, and she had noticed that he would come in and his clothes would be mangly and his hair would look as though it hadn't been washed in weeks. And Teddy didn't really get along with other students really well. He was really, really unpleasant. So for Mrs. Thompson, she actually found it pleasant to write X's on his test papers and a big, fat, red F at the top. Well, one of the requirements at the school where Mrs. Thompson taught was that all of the teachers had to look back on past reviews of other teachers that the students had had. So when Mrs. Thompson came upon Teddy's reviews, she was in for a big surprise. As she read the reviews, she read Teddy's first grade teacher, which read, "Teddy was an incredible, incredible student. He always showed up to class on time, so neat, and got his work done on time. All the students loved him." Teddy's second grade teacher review read, "Teddy was an excellent student, but he's having some trouble at home because he found out his mom has a terminal illness. It's getting kind of tough for him." Teddy's third grade teacher's review. "Teddy's mother's death was hard on him. He's trying his best, but his father doesn't pay much attention to him anymore. And if things at home don't change soon, it's really going to affect his life." Teddy's fourth grade teacher review read, "Teddy's a bit withdrawn. Doesn't show much interest in school or other students. Nobody really likes him much anymore. And half the time he's sleeping during class." Mrs. Thompson was ashamed at herself because now she learned what was going on with Teddy. She was even a little bit more upset when Christmas time came because all the students would bring in gifts for her and everything was wrapped nice and neat, and there was Teddy's gift. was wrapped in a brown paper bag that he had found in the back of one of the drawers at home. What's more, when Mrs. Thompson opened up Teddy's gift, a lot of the kids started to laugh. But she quieted them down very quickly. See, because Teddy had given Mrs. Thompson, it was a rhinestone bracelet, but it was missing a few of the stones. And he had given her a bottle of perfume, but there was only like a quarter of the bottle left. So she, in front of the class, put the bracelet on, and she dabbed some of the perfume on her neck, and she mentioned how beautiful it was and how much she loved the gifts. Well, all the students left, and Teddy stayed after class just long enough to be able to tell Mrs. Thompson, "Mrs. Thompson, I love the way you smell. You smell just like my mom used to." Teddy left, and for about an hour, Mrs. Thompson sat in her classroom with nobody around and cried. See, because up until that day, Mrs. Thompson realized that she taught reading and writing and arithmetic. But from that day forward, she began to teach children. Today is about pursuing our purpose in life. Mrs. Thompson had a purpose for her life, and she began to pursue it from that time forward. This morning, we're going to look at the story in the book of the Bible of Judges. We don't open that book much anymore, but there's a great story in there, and it relates to pursuing your purpose. It's the story of Samson and eventually Delilah. I always like when I hear that. It's like, Delilah. You ever hear W-H-U-D? But his story is found in the book of Judges, and we're going to take a look at the first section, which is found in chapter 13 and verse 1. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, so the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. A certain man of Zorah named Manoah from the clan of the Danites had a wife who was childless, unable to give birth. The angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, "You are barren and childless, but you are going to become pregnant and give birth to a son. Now see to it that you drink no wine or other fermented drink, and that you don't eat anything unclean. You will become pregnant and have a son, whose head is never to be touched by a razor, because the boy is to be a Nazarite, dedicated to God from the womb. He will take the lead in delivering Israel from the hands of the Philistines." See, from the very, very beginning, there was a purpose for Samson's life. God had placed a purpose on his life to be alive for, and that was to rescue and free the Israelite nation from the surrounding nation of the Philistines. So if we're going to pursue our purpose, one of the first things to do is discover what that purpose is, right? This way we know what we're actually pursuing. So in discovering our purpose, I've got here a $20 bill. Anybody want it? It's a $20 bill. It has a purpose. It was made for something. It was a means of exchange, right? I'll give you $20, you give me something back in return. So there's a purpose for this $20 bill. Now I'm going to crumple it. Anybody still want this $20 bill? Why? Exactly. Sometimes, even if money is crumpled, it still holds its worth. It still holds its purpose. What about if I step on it? And crumpled. Would you still want the $20 bill? Why? Because even though $20 bill is crumpled and stepped on, and yeah, it's got a hole in it now, but it still has its worth and value. And it still has its purpose for why it was created. See, I can still go somewhere and hand in $20 and receive something in return. See, for some of us, in discovering what our purpose is, we look at our lives and we feel that it's all crumpled up and it's been stepped on. And how could there be any purpose left for my life, for your life? But at the end of the day, it's not about what we've been through. It's inherently, I believe God has created us, each of us, with inherent value and worth and a purpose. It's time to discover yours. Let's keep going. Judges chapter 14. Samson went down to Timnah together with his father and mother. As they approached the vineyards of Timnah, suddenly a young lion came roaring toward him. The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him so that he tore the lion apart with his bare hands as he might have torn a young goat. But he told neither his father nor his mother what he had done. You know what's funny? When I read this, he leaves with his father and mother, but then he comes up against this lion, tears it apart, and he doesn't tell them about it. Where did they go? Did you ever wonder that? Where did they go in the midst of this travel? What we see here, though, when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon Samson and he tears this lion apart with his hands, is the possibilities. See, for Samson, he already had a purpose. It was discovered before he was even born. But this was giving him a glimpse. It was giving him the possibility of what was yet to come. So when we pursue our purpose and you discover it, lots of times following that, you begin to see glimpses of what your purpose actually is. You begin to see the possibilities of how to actually live out that purpose in your life. I love sports. I don't play much, but I love watching sports, and I love watching movies about sports. And one of the movies that I love is The Rookie. I don't know if any of you have ever seen that movie. The Rookie is about a guy named Jim Morris. Jim, when he was younger, had this passion and purpose for playing baseball. He was a pitcher, and he loved doing it. But somewhere along the line, Jim got hurt, and he couldn't play anymore. And so he got married, and he had children, and created a family and a life for himself. And one of the things that he did was he was a coach for the school that he worked at. He was a teacher at the school, and he was also a coach for the baseball team. Well, the players of his baseball team made a deal with him. They would try their best. And if they got into the Nationals, Jim would have to try out for pitching again. It's not something he really wanted to go back into, although deep inside, he still had this passion and purpose left. It wasn't finished yet. And so he goes and he tries out. And it turns out, Jim's arm is the strongest it's ever been, stronger than when he was a kid. He was throwing faster than he ever threw. See, when he was younger, he was throwing about 85, 86 miles an hour. Now he was throwing 96, 97, 98. And now the scouts were watching him, and he started getting calls. And in the midst of this, Jim has to make some decisions. See, because he realized what his purpose was and he saw these possibilities, saw what he could do. And in the middle of this, he goes to see his dad to get some advice. And do we have the video? Oh.
Jimmy?
Yeah, yes, sir. I was just driving by. I saw that your light was on.
It'll be on for a few more hours. You want to come in?
Oh, no, that's all right. I was, I gotta be heading back. I just, wanted to,
Lauren called.
Yeah?
Yes, the scouts saw what they wanted to see.
I don't know what to do.
Give it some time.
I didn't get a lot of that.
You're asking me?
Yes, sir.
Your grandfather once told me it was okay to think about what you want to do until it was time to start doing what you were meant to do. Your grandfather once told me it was okay to think about what you want to do until it was time to start doing what you were meant to do. Your grandfather once told me it was okay to think about what you wanted to do until it was time to start doing what you were meant to do.
There wasn't something wrong there, actually. We did it three times over. Because I thought that quote was so important. It's okay to think about what you want to do until it's time to start doing what you were meant to do. See, some of you are sitting here and you're doing things that are great, but it may not necessarily be what you were meant to do. It may not necessarily be what your purpose in this life is for. And nobody can tell you that but you. And some of you know that deep inside, and maybe you've been wrestling with it. You've discovered what it is, and you've seen some possibilities, and you have this passion inside for it, and yet you haven't taken this step. In pursuing our purpose, it is about discovering what that purpose is, and it is about seeing possibilities. It's also about watching our weaknesses. Some time later, he fell in love with a woman in the Valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. Here comes Delilah on the scene. The rulers of the Philistines went to her and said, "See if you can lure him into showing you the secret of his great strength." So Delilah said to Samson, "Tell me the secret of your great strength and how you can be tied up and subdued." So he told her everything. Then she called a man to shave off his hair and said, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." He awoke from his sleep and thought, "I'll go out as before and shake myself free. No problem." But he did not know that the Lord had left him. Then the Philistines seized him, gouged out his eyes, and sent him to prison. See, one of the things for Samson was he had a purpose for his life. It was to free the nation of Israel from the Philistines. And the funny thing is, and this isn't the first time we see this, though, instead of pursuing his purpose, he's checking out the babes. He's going after the women. And it eventually gets him in trouble. See, if you notice, when his hair gets shaved off, right after that, it says he did not know that the Lord had left him. He lost all of his strength. And one of the things the Philistines went after was they gouged out his eyes. See, for Samson, his eyes were his weakness. And it's what led him astray from the purpose of his life. So when we're pursuing our purpose, yes, we need to discover what our purpose is and see those possibilities. But also watch out for our weaknesses, because we all have them that can lead us astray from what that purpose is. In my life, one of my weaknesses is disappointment. I've shared it here before in the past. I've given you some glimpses into my story. It's going on almost 5 years ago that I lost my dad and my sister. They happened to end up passing away on the same day. That was a great, great disappointment for me. See, because I looked at it as though I could do something and I couldn't. And I hoped that God would do something, and he didn't. And I figured maybe life would have a different outcome, and it didn't. And it left me feeling very, very disappointed. Well, it's a weakness for me, because when it gets to that point, it can lead me astray, away from the direction of my life, the purpose of my life. And it did for 5 years. What's your weakness? What is it in your life, if you were to pursue your purpose, and in pursuing you see glimpses of what you can do, of what your life was made for? What weakness would show up in your life that could potentially lead you astray? Because if we don't watch it, it really can. And it did in my life. Let's finish this up. Chapter 16, verse 22, but the hair on his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. The rulers of the Philistines shouted, "Bring out Samson to entertain us." Samson said, "Put me where I can feel the pillars that support the temple." The temple was crowded with all the Philistine rulers and 3,000 men and women. And then Samson prayed, "O Lord, please strengthen me one more time, and let me with one blow take revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes." He reached out to the two pillars on which the temple stood and pushed with all of his might, and down came the temple on everyone, including Samson. I'm just going to say this on the get-go. I in no way am saying pursue your purpose and you're going to die for it. In no way. But the thing that we see here is that at the time, Samson was at his worst. His hair was shaved. He lost his power. God left him. First verse here says, but the hair on his head began to grow again. And he prayed one more time. See, sometimes in pursuing our purpose, we discover it, we see those possibilities, and sometimes, our weaknesses can lead us astray from the purpose of our life. See, God has grace, and he always, always is available to give second chances. And see, in Samson's life, Samson had been led astray and yet came back. See, he lost his eyes, but his eyes were the very thing that had led him astray in the first place. Now at this point, he realized He doesn't need his eyes anymore. He needed his heart. And that's when he prays one more time. And God gives him the strength to fulfill what his purpose here on earth was. Because in one blow, he took out the Philistines and he freed Israel. See, in my life, yeah, it was a tough journey, as some of you. And in the midst of being led astray, I had some people around that really helped. Helped to slowly, and it's always a journey, one step at a time, to slowly come back. Dave is one of them. See, Dave's a good friend of mine. Dave would call and check in and want to meet up for lunch or dinner or breakfast. But he gave a tremendous amount of space for me to process my disappointment, what I was going through. That helped me. See, the interesting thing is a lot of times when we are in ministry, we look at them and we think that they have to have all the answers and they always have to say all the right things. It's not what ministry is about at all. It's about helping people, meeting them where they're at, coming alongside. And sometimes that means not saying anything. That's what Dave did for me. It helped me. I had other people around me as well that helped to slowly pick me back up. One of the reasons why I love coaching so much is because for me, see, I grew up, I didn't have a dad that I could turn to and look to for advice and influence and insight. But people have come around me in my life who have helped me tremendously to do that. And some of you have had that as well. See, each of us, no matter who we are, we have a purpose. You're sitting here with a purpose in your life. Discover it. See the possibilities. Watch your weaknesses in pursuing it. But in all of that, go all the way and embrace what your purpose is and grab it and walk it all the way home. Because there's nothing that's more fulfilling inside than pursuing your purpose and fulfilling that. I mentioned in the beginning about Mrs. Thompson. Well, let's finish up her story. See, Teddy had gone on and graduated from Mrs. Thompson's class. And he went on to 6th grade and 8th grade and 10th grade and eventually graduated high school. And Mrs. Thompson at times would get notes back. And the notes would say what he was up to and where he was at. He had graduated middle school. He had graduated high school. He graduated college. But in every single note that Teddy had wrote to Mrs. Thompson, always said one thing in particular. You were the best teacher I ever had. You were the best teacher I ever had. See, because for Mrs. Thompson, once she realized what her purpose was and she pursued it, she started spending more time with Teddy. And the more time she spent with him and the more she helped him, Teddy began to open up and come alive. And he remembered that because it made a huge impact in his life. Well, eventually Mrs. Thompson got another letter from Teddy, and it said that he had met this beautiful young lady and he was about to be married. His dad, unfortunately, had passed away a few years prior. And he wanted Mrs. Thompson to come to the wedding and sit in the seat that was for his mother. Well, Mrs. Thompson, of course, accepted and showed up on the wedding day. And when she did, they saw each other and they embraced. And while they were hugging and hugging tightly, Teddy whispered in Mrs. Thompson's ear, said, "Mrs. Thompson, thank you. Thank you so much for how much you helped me, for the impact that you made in my life. Thank you for coming today. With tears in her eyes, Mrs. Thompson whispered back in Teddy's ear. Said, "No, no, Teddy, you have it all wrong. See, I am the one that needs to thank you. Because until I met you, all I was doing was teaching reading, writing, and arithmetic. But you taught me that my purpose was to teach children. No, no, Teddy. Thank you." Pursuing our purpose is not an easy road and not an easy journey, but it's so fulfilling. Why? Because for so many of us, what we want deep inside, mostly, is to make an impact in people's lives, an impact in the world around us. We want to know that we're here for a reason, not just to exist, but to live every day for the reason and for which we were created. So yeah, pursue your purpose. And in pursuing your purpose, discover what that purpose is. What are you passionate about? What do you do well? What comes easy for you? And then see those possibilities. And in seeing those possibilities, just watch your weaknesses. But take it all the way home. Embrace your purpose in this life. Live it out and make an impact. Because for so many of us, it's what we want to do. It's what our heart screams for.